Now let's talk about your brain on love. And I'm going to make another statement here that might shock you, but when we're in love, we're on drugs. And what I mean by that is we're on endogenous drugs, drugs that we make internally that change the way we perceive things, change the way we feel. This has been well studied and is very popular recently. The courtship brain, the brain that is infatuated, is basically an addicted brain. There is a large amount of dopamine, noradrenaline, that is being produced, along with testosterone and other neurochemicals such as oxytocin. All of these brain chemicals change the way we feel and change our perception. I don't know if you know this, but if you drink alcohol, you lose the ability to pick up asymmetry in a person's face, which is why everybody looks better in a bar. That is happening in other ways as well. When we are in love or when we are infatuated, we tend to lose our judgment. That's because nature wants certain things. Nature wants certain things that our culture, our parents, our friends, and our higher selves don't necessarily want. Nature wants us to procreate and to mix up the gene pool. That's what it wants. And the brain chemistry involved in the mating brain does just that. We sniff each other out to see if on a pheromone level and on an immune level, whether we are suitable for each other. Lots of things go on during that mating period that's really quite ingenious. But our judgment is off, which is why I tell people to do more than just go by the way they feel when they meet somebody. They have to vet their partner, but we'll get to that in a second. So what happens during that initial period of being in love or infatuated? Well, dopamine in our brain makes us interested. That's part of the addiction reward circuit in our brain. Dopamine makes us want to come back to this thing. I like this. I want this. I keep wanting to do this. We can get that experience, by the way, when we have a great conversation with somebody. It could be about politics. It could be about history. It could be about relationship, anything. But you know the feeling. You've been with somebody. You talk and you're in a groove. You get excited. Both of you, or all of you, if you're in a discussion with a lot of people, are experiencing these dopaminergic surges in the brain that make you feel excited and make you want to do this again and again. That's the same thing with the mating brain. There's lots of dopamine, and that makes us want to move forward and makes us want to continue and to return. Noradrenaline keeps our attention going. So we have high attention. Our pupils are dilated. That's the come hither look. When we have our pupils dilated, we're interested. People like open pupils. Babies like open pupils. Next time you're around somebody, notice whether their pupils are dilated or constricted. You might find that with people who have highly constricted pupils, that you move away from them a little bit. That is because that's a parasympathetic reaction, not a come hither or excited reaction. So noradrenaline keeps our attention going. Now, unfortunately, when we are in love in the beginning, we also experience a drop in a neurochemical called serotonin. Serotonin is very good for dealing with anxiety and obsession. So why would we have a drop in serotonin? Well, if I meet you at a party and you're one of many people, what's to keep me from forgetting you after I leave? Well, the drop in serotonin helps me to obsess about you. I start to perseverate. I start to think about, should I call you? Are you going to call me? What should I do? And I start to think about you away from that first meeting. That gets me to come back to you. So that anxiety is a necessary part of pair bonding. Otherwise, I would just, you know, throw you back into the ocean and I would go on to another fishy. So this keeps me connected. That's in the beginning. And as I said, because we are on drugs during this mating period, and that some of these drugs really alter our judgment, such as testosterone, we really don't know if this person is the best choice for us in the long run. Nature is not concerned with long-term relationship. Again, it's concerned with the short term, whether this is a good pair bonding situation for mating. So in terms of long-term relationship, something else has to engage. The very automatic brain that I talked about earlier, the one that's really in charge most of the time, is making the mate selection based on familiarity. We don't pick anybody that we don't recognize. And this is important because a lot of people who end up in relationship think they made the wrong choice. And that may be true for people before the age of 25. Much of this has to do with the frontal lobes not being fully myelinated. And so we can make bad choices. But after 25, there tends to be little mistake when it comes to this process. We move towards people who are familiar. Again, that fast brain is operating on memory. Some of that memory is explicit. We can talk about it, describe it. Most of it is implicit and procedural. We don't even know what it is. We just like this. I like this person. I don't like this person. A lot of choices are made in this fashion. Gee, I have a full list of what I want in a partner, and this person fits that list, but I'm just not into them. That's because the lower brain, the automatic brain, has already decided, nah, I don't like this. Or the opposite. This person is terrible for me. On paper, this is the worst possible choice. And yet, my automatic brain likes them. And there's nothing I can do about that, right? Because I'm really, at least that part of my brain is really into this person, and that's a very strong, strong pull. So I want you to understand that we don't choose anybody who's too strange. We like strangeness. That's part of novelty. But when it comes to the initial part of pair bonding, the brain loves simple, not difficult. If a person is too difficult to understand, we move away from them. If they're familiar, we tend to move towards them.